The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Take the Stock. It is Thursday, the 17th of August, 2023. John's back. Martin stepped in for a day. In fact, someone called him Mark on one of the comments there. Said, I agree with Mark. Who's Mark? It must be me saying Mart. By the way, by all means, you know, get involved. Subscribe if you could below and comment. Because, you know, we do try and cover all the comments. In fact, I missed one from yesterday. I don't know if you know much about RBW, Rainbow Rare Earth. Someone's asked to look at that. We'll look at the chart. I'm not fully over it, though, to be honest. But, of course, there's hot sector, Rainbow Rare Earth. But the question I'm asking today, John, which is, I don't know if you've seen the AIM All Share. In fact, let me put the chart up here. It's looking a bit suspect. I say suspect, probably not the right word, but... if you look at this, this is a chart of the AIM All Share. Now, we are literally, 6 points away from the lows in July. And if we scroll back, it's come from, 1,320 pretty much. That's the COVID dash for cash crash, of course. And if you scroll out, back to 2016, in fact, July 2016, now 7 years since we hit that level. So that's where we've gone. We got up there, up, down. It's quite volatile, isn't it? The AIM All Share. And yeah, now we're back at lows.
It's an interesting index. I mean, it's not really a trackable index in the sense that, you know, people might track FTSE 100 using an ETF or something like that, because of the nature of the companies that are on it. It's a growth index. So, you know, you're going to see sort of big rises and fallers. You are going to, you would expect that volatility.
Yeah.
But it doesn't paint a pretty picture.
No. I mean, there's a lot. Someone did ask me once, said, is it worth, having a tracker of AIM also? I said, no. Because there's extremes on AIM. Some very good businesses, and there's some very poor ones who have been trundling along, raising cash for years, getting nowhere, and they exist as lifestyle businesses, love them. So you wouldn't want those in that, you know, portfolio of yours. You want to get rid of the rubbish ones and stick the good ones. And I mean, there are some fund managers that just center on small micro caps, aren't there, out there? They're pretty worth going for if you're looking for a fund rather than an AIM All Share. I don't think it is an AIM All Share tracker, is there?
I don't think there is, no. Because of the nature of the index. Of course, you know, and AIM will lose its best companies often to the main market. It's an interesting thing to look at, but it isn't, you know, entirely helpful.
Yeah. So what I'm asking here is will it hit new lows? Will we go beyond that and lower than 2016? Because at the moment we are seeing, you know, it's almost comes in. I've noticed a sort of pattern at the moment. Whenever you get CPI coming out, and then of course after that, the Bank of England are looking at all the data. And there's a worry now. There's talk that interest rates could be at 6%. That's terminal rate, peak rate. You get this worrying sell-off. Then it dissipates, you know, a month or after. And, of course, the Bank of England are probably going to go 0.25% anyway. So you do get this worry off of CPI if it's rolling over. But the bonds, you can see if the bonds, that they are rising. I think the 2-year, where's the UK 2-year? Look at that. It's getting towards that, in a previous high here, 5.5, is trying to get it back up there. So we have this in a risk-off mentality at the moment. The markets are feeling very bearish. But sometimes I see this as an opportunity, you know, in this market. If you've done deep research on a company, and in fact, tell us, comment right there. Have you done deep research on a company that's selling off on negative sentiment, but you think shouldn't be tainted with that sentiment? You know, you think in a year's time, 2 years' time, it'll motor like crazy. Let us know. This is your chance. Free promotion for your company that we should research. But there we are.
There are definitely a lot of companies that, you know, decent companies that have been sort of chucked out with the bad ones. I would agree. It is a good time to get, you know, go hunting.
Yeah.
For those hidden gems.
Just covering up a couple of comments I didn't manage to do yesterday that came in. By the way, it's quite a quiet one yesterday, John, because I think the Lions are playing, of course.
The Lionesses.
Lionesses, sorry. Is it non-gender specific these days?
I don't know.
So So essentially, I underestimate the popularity of that, I suppose, because they were in 3-1, he got even more popular. But Rees did say, and I was talking about this at the Bank of Ireland, I think it was yesterday, was giving out free money. People who didn't have money in their accounts could withdraw money, and it wasn't being taken from their accounts. And I said, that's a dream. And I go back, I remember going back in 2009, I had very little money in my ISA account, and I saw, this is Barclays, saw 440 odd grand put in there on my balance, right? And I was looking at this every minute to go, oh, it's going to go out. But it was there all day. I checked every minute. Oh, still there, still there, still there. And I thought, I can't withdraw it, of course, but I would have invested with it. If I'd made money, I said, that's my profit there. You can't take my profit. Okay, you can have the 440 grand back. But come the next day, obviously, they did an audit or something, and it went back to my original balance.
Taken it all out and disappeared to South America.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Rees said, last week, with HNL, I logged in and my account was in negative balance because it executed three of my fill orders three times by mistake. So it did it by mistake. It's very worrying when computers can do this. It's a just human error, fair enough, because you know a lot of humans are idiots. But computers, how can that do it? And also, Mac, I think, 4N59 says, 100% agree with Mark. I think that's Mart. But the Bank of England being behind the curve. Too slow, you know. And he said property was going up by 10 grand a month, and we weren't even talking about raising rates, they would. And we do feel that the Bank of England has been a bit slow on the update, and now they're a bit behind the curve again. Mm. And I think the lag factors are, we are now, it's 12 to 18 months it takes to kick in the effects of this, high interest rates. And yet the Bank of England continued to want to raise rates. Okay, the core inflation didn't come down, didn't go up though, but PPI is contracted now. Which is the input prices, contracted, not just gone down a bit, contracted for the last 2 months. That was last month was 3.3, before that was 2.9. So that's a good sign that contractions are happening.
It's a good sign. It's a good sign on the inflationary front.
Yeah.
But it's not a good sign on the economic front.
China's in trouble, isn't it?
I mean, China is in trouble. You know, their economy is it's not shrinking, but it's certainly growing far, far less fast than it was before. And, you know, I kind of, the other thing that I think, you know, we need to look at in respect to the global flows, economic flows, you know, Germany's in recession, you know, one of the weakest economies in Europe at the moment. You know,
and the biggest economy in Europe, yeah.
And the biggest. They sell, you know, a lot of stuff to China, capital goods. China, you know, isn't therefore buying those capital goods, which it would use to make stuff to sell to the West, you know, the things we buy in various shops. And therefore, you've got to expect, you know, a really quite significant economic slowdown must be coming this way as well. You know, these are the sort of canaries, very large canaries in the coal mine. Germany, China, us. And it's all very worrying on that front.
I like what China did, though. I think we should do this over here. What they did is their unemployment figures for youth has become so bad now, they stopped reporting them. And I think it's like, just don't report them. And it goes away, the problem. It's like, what? Talk about lack of transparency. Mm. And I think maybe the bank, maybe we should do that with inflation over here. Just say, oh, it's too bad. We'll stop reporting it. To a certain extent, that with COVID, didn't it? Everyone had access to those, you know, the government stats on COVID, and people are tracking it on a daily basis and worrying that it was going up. And they were, just don't report it. It's fine. It goes away. And a lot of that is because if you scaremonger people, it gets worse. People start tight, especially with recessions. People get worried, tighten their belts, make it even worse. You know, when in actual fact, they're just worrying too much. Anxiety plays into it. It's self-fueling, a lot of it. You know, you start, everyone's going to go, you know, everyone's going to lose their mortgages. But I think that's the problem. A lot of it is self-fueling. Anyway.
Yeah, but this is the point. I mean, this is the point of interest rate rises. Right? It is to cool the economy. You know, it is to, you know, to stop people, you know, spending frivolously, for want of a better word, to kind of rein in things like consumer spending, house prices. So, I mean, you know, there is a reason for doing it. I mean, arguably the mistakes, you know, you say the central bank's behind a curve. Arguably the mistakes were made a long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. You know, monetary policy was far too loose for far too long. And that's what's having to be undone now.
I want to correct myself on bond sales. What I mean by saying was that the only central bank quantitative tightening, I mean selling the bonds they have, not new bonds, are the Bank of England. And they're selling at an all-time low. I can't think where I listened to it. It's a Bloomberg interview. This guy said basically they're losing, they could hold on to these or not sell them back in, but they were losing, he said, around about 150 billion on each sale. So they caught it tightly, but you know, I think the Fed just lets them elapse or something, whereas Bank of England is selling them back in the market, which is not going to help. Anyway, let's go to the front page of Vox here. Let's look at some of the movers and shakers. Let's look at the indices first and foremost. FTSE 100 down 0.12. AIM all shares down 0.5%, pretty much. FTSE 250. They're very similar, actually. I mean, similar as in businesses, but the movements they make, the 250 and the AIM, you know, they're both very similar. In fact, my fund, which is basically FTSE and 250, is not looking good at the moment. It's a bit of a tamarind, but it pays a nice dividend, so I don't mind. So it averages down for me on a quarterly basis. But yeah, the industry's not looking good. Front page of Vox, let's go there. So we've got Ektek,
yeah,
awarded contract for IDEX's waste fuel facility in France. You want into that, John? Have you read about that?
Yeah, I kind of like the look of this company. I mean, the share price is horrendous. You probably want to get the chart up. I mean, looking at that over the long term.
Wow.
Really, really quite a fall there from the peak. It's a company that does essentially waste to gas. So it's got this technology that basically turns
I do out. That as well.
household rubbish into syn gas. This wasn't entirely unexpected, this contract, because it sold, they call it market, they're sort of test sites for their gasification products in a commercial environment, and it recently sold this one in France to IDEX, and IDEX is rolling out these waste to gas projects. And as part of that sale, you know, the deal was that IDEX would continue to supply its technology, and that's what this is. It's an upfront engineering project, and then you've got sort of follow-on contracts behind that. And the idea is that, you know, that Ektek become, you know, essentially an IP group selling their know-how. Yeah. Rather than operating these things. I think it's an interesting looking company.
Well, look at that. I mean, the reason why it's one of the most read as well, there's always a bit of hype in there. I remember a lot of people doing quite well from this, because you know, from 2019 to 2020, it did 4,000% rise.
Yeah.
So whenever you get a company like that, they're always well for the, you know, rising share prices attract buyers, attract sort of followers. So maybe they've, hopefully, not many people got in on the hype there.
Hype cycle, classic hype cycle. We're in the trough of disillusionment. But, you know, you look at the numbers and the forecasts, you know, the company's going to do 12 and a bit million quid turnover this year, making a small loss, but then swings to profit in 2024. So, you know, it doesn't seem, it seems like a, you know, very, very strong reaction to you know, this share price decline to a company that's you know, forecast to grow quite rapidly and reach profitability in, you know, over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I tend to largely avoid companies that got a lot of hype around them, but maybe you should look at that then if forecasting profitability. But they're down since that peak 95%. You know, so it's a bit of a hard one there. So that's Ektek. By the way, I would advise you, I've done two interviews sort of today. Stuart Gore of Intelligent Ultrasound. This is a local business, based in sort of Cardiff, Caerphilly, and they're a place in the US as well, but they're based in Cardiff and sort of Caerphilly area. And I do think it's worth looking at this. I think the market's missing this because they have AI, right? They do ultrasounds, and GE is one of their partners, with the biggest manufacturer of you know, ultrasound machines in the world. They are using their AI. And I said to Stuart, there are lots of companies now who are boasting about or marketing the fact that they have a strategy for AI, you know, this rolling it out and all this stuff. This company, right, it's literally 35 million market cap. They are selling their AI products, and the growth, even from a small base, though, it's very good. So they got class to, it's from classroom to clinic. So they train people on, you know, ultrasound simulators, and then it goes into the doctors actually use them in real life situations. But their AI revenue, they've done about 6.1 million for this year, about 12 and a half million for the year. They're forecast to be profitable on the current cash now. But their AI, listen to this, H1 last year, 300 grand. H1 this year, 700,000. The second half of this year, they're going to double that again. So look at 2 million just in the second half. They're going to doing about, you know, over 2 million on the AI. Now listen to this though. By 2025, they're estimating revenue of 25 million, evenly split between simulation and AI. So that's going from 300,000 last year to pretty much 12.5 million in 2 years. That's phenomenal if they do that. And yeah, we're talking about people making money. There's not many people making actually money, generating revenue from AI. It's all a bit of hype and a bit of, you know, marketing. They're actually doing it. So it's worth looking at that. The fact they're also with GE as well. So, and the charts, it's a bit rough there at the moment, but they've gone up and come back down. It was tipped by Midas, Joanne Hart from the Midas column. And that's why you see this sort of, you know, strong rally here. And it's quite illiquid, but they did come off today. But like I say, at their brokers are saying it's what, 35 million. They see them, if they achieve those 25 million pound targets, they see this company as a global player in this space, and they say way above 100 million market cap it should be, and at 35. But I like the fact they are generating revenue from it. They are profitable now in the cash they have, and so, you know, it's a local company. I love that, you know.
It's a really it's a really nice company. I mean, the simulation business, the trading business, I mean, it's all sorts of things. It's, you know, they've got a thing called peripheral nerve blocks, and it's for injecting and you know, training people how to inject. But yeah, really, really interesting. The problem with that division is a bit lumpy. So the contract's a bit lumpy. And I think the top line, you know, didn't grow quite as quickly, but on a reported basis, because there were some very large contracts last year.
Yeah.
And as it heads towards, you know, setting more of the AI stuff, then the revenue profile will start to look a lot smoother. Yeah,
They suffered a little bit from, like I said, you know, we've just come out of COVID and things have been a bit uneven. And so now they are building back up in the so half the revenue is pretty much from the UK and the other half is from rest of the world and the US. But rest of the world, the US, that increased on the simulation biz by 154% in the US, 101% in the rest of the world. That's growing very nicely. And I said, UK will pick back up. And then you've got the AI side as well growing very quickly. So yeah. I think it's a you know, a tech company with working revenue generating AI is growing very quickly. So it's worth a look at.
Yeah. Selling to the NHS is always tough. But as you say, you know, they're really doing well in the rest of the world. They started a direct sales team over in the US. That's helping. That's really driving the growth there. And as I think I mentioned the other day, I can't remember if I actually mentioned it on here, but the UK government is starting to fund some AI projects within the NHS.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, comment there. What do you think? New lows for AIM or not? Or do you think it'll bounce so we get a higher low? Let me know. Also, another interview with Atlantic Lithium. Mm. Now, of course, there's been some issues with media speculation over Ghana potentially upping their royalty. So, you know, whatever country you're in, basically it's charged a royalty because the country doesn't own those assets. It's owned by the country, even with oil and gas. You know, you pay a license and you're allowed to develop those. And so in certain areas, there's a royalty of like on certain commodities, like 5-10%. They think they're making 10-15% on lithium. But like I said, Neil from Atlantic said there's not a problem. The margins are very good. And, you know, if you look at some of the figures on the DFS, they're very impressive, like 316 million of EBITDA per annum over the life of the mine. And so, and you know, all very high margins. And so it won't be a problem. But they've just announced that Piedmont Lithium, which is their partner, have agreed to go ahead and take the option here to fund, you know, part of this. I think it was 70 million so far for 22.5% of the project, and they will fund further as well. So that, to me, is a conference ticking the box because he's out there at the moment. He's in Ghana at the moment with Piedmont, and they are chatting to the government ministers. So even though the share price came off recently, I think, you know, it's all happening. So the next big sort of thing you'll see probably is the mining license at grant.
That's what everyone wants to see. And, you know, there's confident tones coming out of there. So maybe some of the speculation is a bit alarmist.
And it's worth noting that the directors have been buying shares all the way down here. They're increasingly putting skin in the game and their commitment's very high. But so we're back at sort of 2021 levels here.
Yeah, getting that funding is, you know, secured. Signed, sealed, and delivered is crucial.
Yeah, yeah, and I think Neil said on the podcast they need about 57 mines to come online next few years globally, lithium mines, and literally it takes about 10 years pretty much to get a mine online.
Big looming deficits in the lithium market. But that's the same. That's true across a lot of metals that are going to be very, very important for the energy transition. Copper. Copper's going to be in deficit very, very soon.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how long it takes. Because they got into production in 2025. And he said, we've been at this since 2016. So you can see how long it takes. And we're going to see this massive deficit here. What else on the front page? Oh, Wynnewood.
Yeah, I do another AI-enabled company.
Yeah.
I really like this one. I like the whole area of maritime domain awareness. It's, you know, if you think about, you know, air traffic control and how important it is keeping track of everything in the air, it's the same is increasingly true of what's on the oceans. And, you know, they are very big places and very difficult to track what's going on. So, you know, the AI element of what Wynnewood is doing is absolutely crucial. And, you know, it's basically, they sell to basically governments who are, you know, trying to monitor, you know, seaborne traffic, but also increasingly commercial customers who want to be compliant with various regulations, not least sanctions. So you know, it's all designed to basically, in that sense, speed up the, you know, make seaborne trade a lot more efficient. You know, they've announced some really interesting tie-ups recently. London Stock Exchange for their sort of dashboard for sort of those using their products to track goods at sea, but also, you know, commercial customers themselves who are trying to be compliant. So yeah, really, really nice. And, you know, you can see some operational gearing in effect here. You know, the gross margins going up, cash burns coming down as the number of contract customers increases, you know, new products being rolled out that just increase the attractiveness of this this platform to both governments and commercial customers. I think it's a really good company.
Yeah, and if you look at sort of the cash flow here, cash using operations there,
$4 million,
$5.8 million. $5.8 million. Yeah, and they've got about $18 million. So they've got way over 12 months, you know, to get the profitability there.
I think it's 2025. So they said they'd exit 24 EBITDA positive on a sort of monthly run rate. But 25 is when they're going to report profits. It's a good one.
And looking at how Stephen was just commented, I said, you know, let us know of a company that, you know, you want us to talk about. Free promotion, we'll do some research. Stephen said, a mine is a hole in the ground with a liar on top.
Mark Twain. Quote Mark Twain there.
The thing is, you can say that. In fact, you can say that about lots of mines, because the chances, I don't know what the stats were, but an exploration company, the percentage chance of getting into production are literally low single digits. You know, because you have all the problems of, you know, getting the funding and all that stuff. But I can safely say, so for example, I think Atlantic Lithium are one of those ones that will get to mining, because they're only literally now, you know, 2025, early 2025, the funding's in, they've got a big partner, and of course, in the right space with lithium. So I do think they'll get there. But
I think Mark Twain might have said that during the, you know, sort of the wild years in America, you know, sort of gold rush, all that sort of stuff. You know, things are a bit different now. You know, there's a lot more transparency in mine development. That's not to say it's easy, or that you know, the mines that are being developed will ever produce anything. But yeah, it's not quite as bad as Mark Twain would have observed back in the 19th century.
Yeah, but there is a play, of course. A lot of explorers, they won't say this, they'll pretend they're going to get mined out. But what they want to do is to prove up the resources, you know, and reserves to a certain stage where they get taken out, essentially. They don't have to go through the complex processes of actually building a mine, raising the funds and all that stuff, going through, you know, environmental permitting and all that stuff. So they want someone else to do that, because it's a long slog for small companies.
It is a long slog.
And it's costly and expensive. So
it's getting more difficult as well. And you mentioned environmental permits. Yeah, that is making, you know, particularly in sort of Western jurisdictions, making mine development, you know, ever more difficult. And of course, investors want to see the companies that they're invested in are doing things ethically. So again, you know, that all just adds to the cost. This also then creates the situation where we face deficits in certain metals, because bringing mines on stream is very, very, very difficult. So then for the miners that get it right, the rewards are potentially huge.
Yeah. Okay, most followed companies are Bellascura up there from yesterday, of course. They announced a pre-order on their new generation portable oxygen concentrators of 6,500 units, 15 million, which is about 2,300 per concentrator, I suppose. But that's a good sign. But their growth is looking good. I did look at their broker notes yesterday. The growth is perceived, or expected growth, if they hit the units, looking very good, actually. I've never heard one of the winners today, Kin and Carter. And I thought, it's one of these companies, when you click into it, right? So they're 9.29 million.
That's not right. I don't think that's correct.
Okay, that's KCT. Okay, maybe it's not. Kin and Carter. What have we got there for the market cap? Oh, 112 million.
Yeah, I'll make it 113 million. Got a bit of data issue there. We'll have to sort that one out.
But the trading update here, I was going to say, that doesn't make stack up. But they just say net revenue for is 48 million in line with expectations. And they say adjusted for full year, adjusted operating profit expected to be between 17 and 18 million. So I suppose that's a PE of what, 9, 10, I suppose. But they do have. What I looked at, I always look at this net debt of 20.
Not much,
million.
Though. Not much. No, you know, for business,
cash, is it?
But for a business, well, you don't always have to have net cash as long as the debt can be serviced. And you know, this company is delivering, you know, quite significant levels of profit. So you don't, you shouldn't always scoff at companies that don't have net cash.
I wasn't scoffing. Oh, net debt.
That doesn't mean they're not worth looking at, as long as the debt can be serviced.
Exactly. But the thing is, as long as it can be serviced, like I said, when you get the cost of debt going up, and that's why we're it's a worrying scenario for lots of companies, because when the cost of debt is going up, and you know global economies are slowing down, or your market's slowing down. Then it's a double pain. It's a pain from both sides, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this company is quite interesting. It does digital transformation, and you know, it goes into companies and helps them manage their data, and you know, put efficient processes in to help companies maximize the benefit they get from data. You know, data is the new oil. It's has been said before. They got a bit unlucky because they were reducing that debt quite rapidly, and then of course COVID hit, so that made life difficult for a lot of companies that you know couldn't get in and do the work they needed to do. But it's on the way down again. As you say, it looks very, very attractively priced. So you know, 2023. PE ratio, forecast PE ratio of 10.
Yeah, 10. Yeah.
You know, and it's growing at a lick.
Yeah, it's good. Bank of Georgia as well. So it was done quite well, the Bank of Georgia, isn't it? Yeah. BGEO. Look at the. I think it has anyway. Look at that. That is lovely. When you see a chart of that straight away, just bouncing off that 200 day moving average. And today, up again, you know, breaking out of a new range there. And that's always nice to see where, you know, you get that with the. You know, a previous high there, and it's broken above that today. But if you scroll back and look where it's come from.
Well, we know there were obviously concerns about one of its neighbours at some point in history, Russia. But you know, those were overblown. Georgia has managed to kind of, not be invaded. So there is
a lot of people are putting money into Georgia because of the concerns of Russia. And so, the banks, they got, oddly, a lot of new Russian customers in the Bank of Georgia.
What a
all
surprise.
Of a sudden.
Yeah.
So that's up about 367% in the last
big company. That's knocking on the door of FTSE 100.
Yeah. So that's impressive there. Anything else? What's the big losers today? So, Tremor. What are they about? What do they do? They add 264 market cap.
Ad serving, basically.
Advertising technology. Now, again, you know, that's very telling when you're advertising. So they got Q2 and H1 results out. So adjusted EBITDA significantly rebounded, 137%. Yes, but what level is it from?
It didn't hit the level that they wanted it to rebound. Problem today.
Is that the issue? Is it? Okay.
So you know they're missing their numbers. Now a lot of the commentary around this. I mean, the brokers.
Oof.
The brokers appear to have been caught very much by surprise at the extent of the downgrades at this company. It's a worrying time when even the sort of brokers can't keep up with, or you know, they're caught off guard by the extent of these downgrades, and that's hence the big fall today. There was a big they made a big acquisition last year, this Amobi which is a sort of integrated ad platform. And I think there's some worries about that. They say it's fully integrated, but you know, acquisitions can disguise a lot of ills, and they don't always work quite as intended.
Yeah, see, that's a bit of a trap as well on the chart there, bull trap, because essentially, you know, broke up nicely, gapped up above a 50-day moving average. Think, okay, it needs to get above previous highs, which is pretty much here, and it did that. And then we've got this trading update coming. There's something going on here. Look, last few days before the trading update, it's really come off. And then it's gone down yeah. there. So if you'd got in though above on that gap where it gapped up through that 50-day, you'd still be pretty much, you know, even after that, you'd pretty much, you know, where's the gap over there? You'd still be okay on the thing. Mm.
Yeah, we might see a bit more weakness here.
Yeah.
You know, when the market gets rattled by a big downgrade, then, you know, the selling pressure, you know, it could persist. It sort of follows a theme, though. We've spoken about this. You know, we've seen it in companies like S4, WPP, you know, even the big boys.
Well, Future Google. PLC, yeah, as well. I mean if the big boys are suffering, you know, advertising-based, then it's worth, you know, a read across.
Okay, other very tricky market.
Smaller sector. Yeah, okay. Marvellous stuff. That's it for today. We're spot on time. Look at that. 12:30. Thanks, everyone. Oh, hang on. Lion Trust? Okay. Listen, we'll try and get those. I sold Tremor at £6. Thank God, Stephen says. Ethical mining, perfect example. Clean Tech Lithium, using DLE to extract lithium in Chile, powered by 24/7 sustainable electricity, no fauna or flora disruption, at 4,300 meters altitude, no indigenous people there. Rupees and half their board are women, ridiculously undervalued at the moment. Okay.
Precisely. That is exactly what people want to see in a mine.
CTL, actually, I just got an alert on those on the chart. I think it was yesterday, which I didn't actually chase up on it, but let's sort of share screen. Oh, I think it was on the 200-day moving average, yeah. So, no, it's not a trend. It's gotten down there. It needs to break it above that again, maybe a previous high. But, it's interesting. I was with only worry, again, similar to Ghana, really. They came out recently, didn't they? The Greens policy in Chile, but Chile, as Americans say. But it's not going to affect them because Chile concerned about, you know, the massive national significant projects, which they're going to sort of get in control of. But the smaller projects, which will still move the needle massively for clean tech, but it's not a worrisome at a national level. Marvellous stuff. Thank you for that. Don't forget, hit that subscribe button. And is it the end of the... No, it's Thursday, so we've got one
it's
more.
Thursday.
Okay. All right. Well, speak tomorrow, John.
See you later.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.